The Old Testament lesson for the Nativity of our Lord is from the book of Exodus, the 40th chapter. In the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frames and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. He spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, and put the poles on the ark, and set the mercy seat above on the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the screen and screened the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in St. Paul's letter to Titus, the third chapter. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, a very Merry Christmas to all of you, dear ones, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. What a magnificent day. A magnificent day it is. Today we celebrate the holy nativity of our Lord, and how awesome and fitting it is, wholly, entirely fitting, for us to be right here in the house of God receiving his gifts. As I said yesterday, I can hardly imagine a better place to be than right here, right now, today. Today we praise God in our hearts. We treasure the fact that the Word has indeed been made flesh and has come to dwell among us, that the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal Son of God, by whom all things were made, he united himself to his own handiwork in the incarnation. And the same St. John who wrote our gospel text for today also tells us in his first epistle the reason Christ appeared. And that is this: Christ appeared to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God did not assume our human nature to help us get our dream job, not to shower us with material wealth or any such nonsense. And I sincerely hope I don't get a bunch of angry emails and voicemails for this too, saying that I ruined Christmas. But the Son of God didn't take our flesh just to give us the warm and fuzzies on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. That is not why he took our flesh. And hear me out on this, dear ones. There is real danger in letting Christmas become so over-sentimentalized that that's all we focus on, and that's all we want to hear about. There's real danger in that, because the Holy Scriptures teach us that the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. And thus, while it may not be common for us to think this way or speak this way about Christmas, the story of Christmas, at a fundamental level, is a story of warfare. Don't kid yourself. Christ Jesus, the light of the world, has invaded the devil's kingdom of darkness. That's what he's done in the incarnation. The light shines in the darkness, our text says, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just consider for a moment what that means. What does that mean, dear ones? Think about that. All the forces of darkness that have tyrannized us, mankind, and all of creation since Adam and Eve fell into sin are in view here. Not just the devil and his fallen angels, but also sin and death. Think of the sheer magnitude of these enemies. The sheer magnitude of these foes. When you turn on the news and they say good evening and they proceed to give you umpteen number of reasons why it's not in fact a good evening, you see this. We see reports of terrible, disgusting things that happen on a daily basis. These are not anomalies in an otherwise good and normal world. Dear ones, sin and death are the norm. And whatever good can be found is what's actually anomalous in this life, in this world. Politicians become lawless and corrupt. Illness and pestilences ravage our societies. The poor are exploited by the wealthy. We hear of false religions, wars, rumors of wars, and people the world over suffer from addiction, depression, broken relationships, to say nothing of the sin and perversity that pours out of our own hearts daily. All of creation has been subject to death and decay. All of creation has been subject to this darkness that has descended on it. These are the devil's works. And they are too mighty for any mere mortal to defeat. Don't kid yourself. The devil has made war against the Lord our Maker, and he rages fiercely against all that is good and God-pleasing. The darkness seeks to overcome the light. But dear ones, God our Father has not been content to abandon us in our fallen state, in our darkness. He would not let the darkness ultimately have its way. And so God sent forth his only Son for us men and for our salvation, born of woman to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he's come. He came to triumph over the darkness, to crush the head of the ancient serpent and fulfill every promise written in the Word of God. But the decisive invasion of the true light into the kingdom of darkness began in a way that no one expected, least of all, the devil. The event ushering in both the end times and the restoration of all creation is in the manger, is in the baby Jesus. When we envision or see depicted the classic nativity scene with the shepherds and the holy angels, the Virgin Mary, and especially the infant Christ, we tend to smile and think about how endearing and cute and pleasant it all is. And that's true. It's not necessarily wrong to think that way. But dear ones, if my suspicions are correct, and of course I'm fully confident that they are, that is not how the devil and the forces of darkness see things when they look at the nativity scene. When they look on the Christ child, they are utterly horrified at what they see. For they see in the tiny little Christ, the one in whom the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. When the demons look on the sweet hands of the baby Jesus, they see the hands that stretched out the heavens and would in time heal every disease of the sick and restore sight to the blind. When the demons see the little feet of Jesus, they behold the feet of the one who would walk on water and subdue all the forces of chaos, trampling them down underfoot. They look on the sweet face of our gentle Savior, and they see the face of God in human flesh, radiant, filled with blinding splendor, of the divine majesty. And when the demons hear the soft cries of our Savior, they hear the deafening thunder of many waters, the lion of the tribe of Judah roaring long and loud. That's what they hear. Dear ones, the devil and his hordes flee in terror from the infant Christ, because in the end, the darkness can do nothing but scatter when faced with the light of the world. And even some years later, when it seemed as though the darkness had prevailed, there was something deeper still at work. When the Lord of glory was bloodied, beaten, and crucified, he atoned for all our sins. He took our shame, our sorrows upon himself and tasted death for us on the tree. And in his tomb on the third day, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. The same Jesus born in Bethlehem rose from the grave, the conqueror of sin and death and the devil. Christ has come to give us life, give us a life in abundance, to destroy the works of the devil, to draw all men to himself by being lifted up. And he has baptized you and I into himself in a most glorious, indescribable union. And so, therefore, we must, as St. Paul says, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality or quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Dear ones, we all take a little time to look at ourselves in the mirror each day, to examine ourselves, our appearance. At least we should. And in just this way, it's a very healthy spiritual practice to take just a few moments each day, perhaps before you go to bed, and consider how you've lived in light of the Ten Commandments. Even if you're not aware of anything against yourself, you are not thereby acquitted, as St. Paul says elsewhere. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our Father in heaven, dear ones, takes great delight in forgiving repentant sinners. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. So let us cast off the works of darkness. We are people of the light. And all who are baptized into Christ has been granted the right to become sons of God, to call upon God himself as Father, the Father of lights, even. For in Jesus is life, and he is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. Let the light of Christ shine in you, now and always. And no darkness shall overcome you. To the same Jesus Christ be all power, honor, and glory unto the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.